we're on season 2, episode 9 of The Crown called Paterfamilias. Close enough.
Yes.
Another Latin name.
Yes, another Latin name. Of course, it basically means father.
So, the father's family or something.
Yeah, right. Or head of the family, but that kind of thing. I've got ASMR going on, and I guess we need to skip right to, what are we drinking today?
I'm drinking Dr. Pepper. Mm. So, getting that ASMR out the way.
There we go. I have another mocktail. This is actually pretty good. It is a mango ginger mule, and it has mango, cucumber, honey, and some ginger beer in it. You want to give it a taste?
We probably should have done this before.
Yeah, we probably should have, but it's got ice in it, and that's why you're hearing ice, because
it's usually my fault.
But no, it's fine. So yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, it's actually I like it. It's quite tasty.
I feel like I just prefer ginger ale to ginger beer, so I think that's why I'm kind of like lukewarm on it, but
I can see that. So, but I think it's tasty. So, we hope that you join us with your own mocktails. And of course, if you have any recipes for those, please share. We need as much diversity as we can muster at this point.
Pinterest can only show us so much.
It's true. And of course, we don't have all of those, like, they have all these, like, really cool mocktail faux spirits out there. But I don't really want to spend a whole lot on that. So,
fair.
All right. So, we do have our usual disclaimers, which would be that we are going to be cursing, probably.
Probably.
Probably, yes. There may or may not be spoilers in this episode.
There will be.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. yeah, so there are likely to be spoilers. And obviously, we are having beverages, although mine's a little more interesting than Dr. Pepper.
Sorry. Yeah, I had Dr. Pepper this morning, and I didn't feel like making something, so...
All right.
And the Netflix recap for this is Philip insists that Prince Charles attend his alma mater in Scotland and reminisces about the life-changing difficulties he experienced there. Yeah, that's basically
the episode. Yeah, all right, so now you don't have to watch it. No, wait, no.
Still watch it.
You should still watch it because it is, in my opinion, a good episode.
And spoiler alert.
That it's a good episode?
Well, yeah, no, we don't do overall grades until the end. But it's fine. So it starts with Charles failing at rugby, and he kind of looks like what I would look like if I were in that situation, just like off on the side, just like, what the hell is happening around me?
Right, so it's, it starts with the regular rugby scrum, and Charles is not in the scrum. He's off in his uniform.
Like cuddled up, just like cold.
Like shaking. Yeah. He's shaking.
He's very cartoonish.
Like, yeah, and it's kind of terrified.
And the head of the school he attends, he's talking to Elizabeth about how Charles doesn't really belong there. He's very, very shy and sensitive. He doesn't really have any friends because there are constantly news stories about him, and everyone's talking about him, like, behind his back and also, like, in front of his face.
He's delicate.
It's not just because of who he is as far as title's concerned. It's also who he is as a person that is not really jiving with everybody. And you see this little shot of Charles, like, looking out the window and seeing the detective that is there to, like, ward off the press and make them leave Charles alone. He waves at the detective, and it's clear that that's probably one of his only friends.
Right, and all the other students make fun of him waving at the detective.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, you can call it bullying.
And it's clear that the idea of putting Charles in a normal school, quote-unquote, is not working, and he would probably do better somewhere else, like Eton, or...
Well, right, no, he's gonna, I guess the way the English education system works, he is in what they call a lower school, and he's going to be going to upper school.
Confusing to me.
Yeah, so upper school, he's suggesting, the headmaster suggests Eton, because it would be a better fit for him. And
it's closer to home.
Right. And so, Charles gets excited about it. He writes to...
Well, also, Elizabeth is... I like this moment for Elizabeth and Charles because, like, she's telling Charles, hey, maybe Eton is a better place for you, showing him, like, you can literally see it from his window. And it's just like, oh, you're just over there. You can even sleep in your own bed. You get to stay close to the family. And you'll be happier there. And I really like this. And she's like, yes, we'll have to ask your dad. But I think that this is going to be a great thing for you, Charles. And he's very, very excited.
Right. And she's clearly being a good mom in this situation.
Yeah, I love seeing
she's
her being
very
like
emotionally supportive. Charles writes to Dickie Mountbatten, his semi-uncle, cousin.
Not really uncle.
Relative
uncle?
Of some kind. I don't know. And says he's going to Eton. And Dickie writes back like, oh, I only had tutors. Man, I'm kind of jealous.
Him and Charles have a really cute relationship.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, but again, I think there's Dickie himself, and there will be episodes about him in future seasons.
Absolutely.
Where he, as a character, he is a very interesting mix. He's obviously got a lot of political and military
agenda.
Political agenda, definitely. Military experience.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also, in this first two seasons, he's nothing but a fop, really. I mean, he's just he's all about the clothes and the uniforms and the this. So he takes Charles to get uniforms at Savile Row, like the best possible uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this montage of trying stuff on. It's cute, but it's like this middle school makeover, but for a boy. and so he's like, he gets his little
inclusive
suit with his, he gets a top hat, and he's gonna, they try on his
he looks like cricket he's about whites. To join a quartet.
He's got the cricket whites, there's the boater. The boning outfit and his tweed jacket.
I said boning outfit.
is this like some sort of foreshadowing? Or whatever. So, he's clearly enjoying that experience.
Yeah.
And you see Philip riding up to
Windsor.
Yeah, to Windsor in his car, and he's blasting pop music, and he just won a trophy doing some boating thing.
I think it's the rowing thing that we saw him do in like season one.
Yeah, it could be
in Malta.
And obviously rowing is a big deal. That whole crew thing is a big deal in England still. I mean, you've got competitions between Oxford and Cambridge and stuff all the time.
I mean, it's sports, so
right. But again, specifically boating and rowing can be very important.
They're surrounded by water.
I don't know. It's a thing. So Philip is like, no, Charles isn't going to Eton. I'm definitely not going to allow that to happen. They're going to make him into a namby-pamby. And he, like all these other aristocrats and all these British people.
He
just feels like Charles has been babied.
And yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what happens when you are born into privilege like that, and also considering he's the heir, it kind of makes sense that people are trying to like foster his growth and like really. I mean, yeah, I understand where Philip's coming from to a certain extent. Like, he needs to buck up a little bit because but also like running the country is not going to be easy.
Right.
So I think that getting a slice of the real world and having an awareness is very important, and that's mostly what Philip wants. And he wants him to go to his alma mater, which is Gordonston.
Right.
And because it made Philip who he is now.
Right.
And isn't that such a great thing?
I think that, again, we have different perspectives on Philip.
I'm just saying,
we're going to talk about that in the course of this episode.
I mean, he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, this maybe what I am today is, like, tough and all that stuff. It's, like, good, but it also probably gave you some of the stuff that's causing trouble in your marriage. So
it's possible. I think some of that is a product of the time.
Well,
even
also,
outside of Gordonston.
The problem is he was going to have all this drama in his life anyway, but like toughening him up is probably a good thing. But I think that him forcing that on Charles, and that's a whole thing, but it's like, yes, Charles needs to toughen up a bit, but maybe you should do it gradually. But I don't know. And then we'll get to that later. And then Philip like talks to Charles about it because Elizabeth's like, fine, you can have your way, but you're telling Charles because it'll break his heart.
Right. So he talks to him, and Charles is like, well, isn't Scotland far away? And Philip's like, no, and I can fly up to see you all the time, blah, blah, blah. And Philip tells Charles, you need to get away from all of this, all the footmen and all the other stuff. And, I'm going to let you in on a secret. This whole world you're in where everyone waits on you hand and foot is not the real world. And he's very right about that.
That's absolutely right, but it's also an issue because it will be his world for the foreseeable future. Because regardless, he's going to be the next in line. And he's going to be surrounded by this. So learning to navigate it in that sense, but also having, I think having awareness of the real world is very, very important. And it, I think that it's a good idea for him to get a slice of it now and be able to, like, put that more into his life later on when he's, like, older and able to be more aware of everything. Having a more well-rounded character is very important. But I also think that Philip isn't thinking about the fact that his life, as far as we know, unless there's, like, a coup, isn't really going to change all that much with, like, the privilege.
No,
it will only increase from here.
Right, but I think that that's kind of Philip's point. I think you know, we see parallels with Philip's youth, and we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, yeah, that's next.
I think that's definitely going
to
come up.
There's a flashback to Philip in Germany.
Right, so...
With his Nazi.
Which is his sister, who is married to a Nazi. Mm. And Philip is being sent to Gordonston. And the Gordonston uniform is the transition that they make. It's this, like, this depressing, dark charcoal gray, which I have actually
I think it's more blue. But it's navy blue. And Philip gives his old jumper or sweater or whatever to... Charles as his uniform, so that, hey, you don't even have to get a new uniform. You won't have to busy yourself with all this, like, other crap that we'll just burn those outfits that you were trying on before. Yes. You're gonna focus on this.
Yeah, with the hats and the accessories and all the stuff. Yeah, I mean, you don't need any of that. So, we flash back to Philip, you know, being packed off to Gordonston, being unhappy about it because he was, and he even says that Charles is like, when I was being sent to Gordonston, I've had the same, you know, reaction, like, oh my God, this is going to be hell, and you can see him thinking that through.
Oh, you get to see a lot of that in the flashbacks,
right? Because his sister's explaining, look, your dad wants you to be taught by a genius, this guy Hahn,
Dr. Hahn,
and Dr. Hahn
is Jewish, so he fled the Germany,
not being a moron.
I also love how casually she brings up, oh yeah, he's a Jew, and he fled the country, and with considering her the company she keeps, being really casual about that, and also like. Being like, oh, he's a genius. He is a Jew. But it's like, given the time period and the political
context,
I'm like, you are speaking very freely about this. So why are you, like, so supportive of this regime? Is it just because of your husband? Like, what is it? Like, obviously, I don't hold those beliefs. Obviously,
right.
I don't.
Well, I am seriously doubt that the way this conversation is portrayed, which is, like, she's having this casual conversation with, like, her husband's in the room.
Yeah, her husband's in the room, and he's a part of Nazi high command, so I'm just kind of like, you're, again, speaking very, very freely, and obviously, I'm like, whatever, it doesn't matter if he's Jewish or anything like that, it really doesn't, but... It seems to not matter to her either, which really confuses me.
Well, I mean, I think, and I don't know anything about these people.
No,
right?
Me either.
So I didn't know much about Philip's background until we watched The Crown. And, of course,
and then they harp on it so much.
Right, so the accuracy, obviously there is truth in the fact that his sisters were married to Nazis.
They bring it up so much 100%. That probably is true.
Yeah, no, that I'm sure that's true.
That's probably well documented.
And it may be documented that Dad wanted him to be taught by Dr. Hahn, and Dr. Hahn left. But Dad's not in Germany, really, either. Dad's gone off
he's in
to
Germany
the south
for
of France. He's there.
Oh, yeah, later. Yeah, because he ran off with the harlot or
right,
something.
Right, exactly. So we're not really sure what Dad's beliefs are. We also know that Mom's been sent to an asylum.
Yeah. We see them later.
Yeah, we see them later.
And isn't that a joy?
It's not.
anyway, moving on.
Yeah, it's very interesting to because we still don't get a whole lot of insight into... the beliefs of the family.
We just know the sister is the favorite sister because everyone calls her the favorite
sister.
Well,
and she's daddy's favorite too.
Yeah,
we
find out later.
So he gets packed off to Gordonston. He gets there and it's like a prison. It's kind of a rundown thing.
We also find out that his sister does not like flying and dresses in black preparing for her own funeral. This is going to be foreshadowing. It's sad foreshadowing, but it's foreshadowing.
Yeah, Philip actually, like, comforts her. I mean, young Philip is comforting his older sister on this, like, flight because she's terrified.
It's just air. It's just air.
Yeah, like, she's praying and she's terrified. And he's like, it's just air. It's just air. It's okay. We're going to be fine. And, of course, they get there and they're fine. But he's stuck there. Philip is. And Gordonston, it's cold. And he's
it's
never...
It's Scotland.
Right. I mean, he's been in Germany, which is cold. So, I'm kind of surprised that...
It's colder, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, it's further north, so I guess it makes sense. Like, but I guess they probably were in, like, Berlin or something. So,
yeah,
I mean,
so
it's not like...
pretty cold. I don't know.
I mean, it's cold, but I mean, I don't know.
It's interesting. But he complains about the cold, Philip does. He is in a dorm room...
Well, you also see students building the gate... When
right.
Philip
it's a masonry
arrives.
Gate. It's not just like a wooden gate or something. This
oh,
is not
no.
something that
they're
really
like
simple to
making
make.
Cement and like putting the blocks on, and they have iron gates ready to be put up at some point when they finish.
Right. They're building the gate when he gets there, and he's kind of like, ugh. And so he's really not suited to it. He comes in very much like Charles is going to be coming into Gordonston. He's very pampered. He's very...
He's a prince.
Well, and he says that to other people. He's getting bullied by other people.
Well, okay, we get to that after we go back to the present, and Philip is flying Charles to school, and Charles is very, very nervous. Charles also is going to be sleeping in Philip's old bed next to a broken window,
right.
Which... Love that they haven't fixed that in however many years.
Right.
And Philip also insists that they call him Charles and not Royal Highness.
Right. And he doesn't want him mollycoddled. And
the royal detective will be there at the palace's insistence, but Charles is not Charles. Philip is not very happy about that. But
no. But they talk about fitness being as important as academics at Gordonston.
Okay.
So physical.
We do fitness. Not see them study once. I'm just saying. I have a note later on. It's just like, do they learn anything?
Well, I think we get the sense that Philip is well educated. You know, he reads Darwin for fun. You know, those kinds of things. So you get the sense that they got
time on his hands,
right? And his vocabulary is such that you would get the sense that they are being taught a good bit. And I think Dr. Hahn, when we hear him speak, he's well-educated.
Oh,
so.
He obviously is. I mean, first of all, he's a doctor. Second of all, I mean, he does speak very, very well, and that's why everyone is considering him a genius and all that stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, no, so Philip signs Charles up for the annual challenge, which tests endurance and all the stuff they learn in school, I guess, which is changing clothes quickly and running and doing... Bolt jumps,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Or
it's kind of like
hurdles.
Well, and they also have to, you know, climb walls.
It's
and,
a team thing too. So
right.
I'm confused on why they individually like have to sign up.
Right.
I guess they just, I don't know.
Anyway, so you know, that night Charles is in the same bed his father had been in the same dorm. The boys had decided that Charles would be in that bed. The other boys in the dorm, and it's obvious.
No, Dr. Hahn did.
Well, he decided which dorm, but I got the sense the boy's like, oh, yeah, we put you in the window by the window. And it's because the window's broken. And so it rains overnight, and it rains onto Charles's bed. He tries to move the bed, and they're like, we're going to report you. You've got to put it back. And so he's just getting wet.
And cold.
And cold and miserable.
Yeah. And then we go back to a flashback.
Right. And Philip's first night, apparently he slept in the first morning he was there. And all the boys are kind of like... You know, bye. Because they have a very strict morning ritual that involves running and whatever.
Yeah, they do a morning run in the cold. And
yeah.
After they run, they all take a quick cold shower. And
right.
then Philip stays under the shower head for the longest to prove his worth and all that.
Well,
and like, it's freaking winter or autumn or something in the Highlands.
Yeah, it's some sort of defiance for him, though. I mean, he's been complaining about being cold, and they're like, oh, just wait till you see the cold shower, and he's like, fine, I can take it.
Yeah.
And he does have something that I don't see in Charles.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, well, obviously.
They're
exactly.
very different.
They are very different. And honestly, I respect Philip more. So skipping to the end.
Obviously, you prefer Philip and stuff.
Right. So, and while he's, right after he gets out of the shower, you can see Philip's breath. I mean,
I know,
he's
that's
like,
what I saw.
Really,
I was just
really
like,
cold.
It's freezing.
Yeah. Philip, you know, did not want to do manual labor.
Well, they're
really arrogant with these other boys.
Okay, they're restoring the boathouse as a work project. Again, do they not learn anything here? Like, is that all they do? Just manual labor?
They learn the value of work.
Yeah, but this is a school.
Yeah, but there is a value in work.
I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just saying all we see is them doing that and not learning anything else.
Well, I think that they're, you know, again, it makes... There is an egalitarianism with that.
Well, compared to Eaton, obviously it's very different.
Right. And young Philip is telling them, well, you know, don't they pay the staff to do that? The staff should do that. And you know, they're like, look, we know who you are. You're like some discount duke kind of thing. He's like, I'm a prince. And your sisters are Nazis. Your dad's off with a whore.
And then they throw him out of a second story window into the lake, which is very, they throw him very close to that dock and he could have died.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Bad shit could have happened.
Like he falls almost head first.
Yeah. I mean, there'd been a fight, but the other kid is clearly bigger. And so he throws Philip out the window in the lake.
Yeah. Philip's a little lanky. Yeah.
And Philip is, in with Dr. Han, and Dr. Han's like, look, we get that you're angry, but you have to embrace that pain and lose your ego.
No, he says the annihilation of anger and ego is our savior.
Right.
And yeah, so I think that's a valid philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I do too. But the school, like he calls his sister,
mm-hmm.
and the way they're, the phone, I guess, is in like a
common area.
And there's no decoration of any kind. It's all, like, just blank stone
also,
walls.
I think in the background, you just see, like, a kid in his pajamas just sweeping the floor. And he was very distracting.
Manual labor.
It's really
but
funny.
But having chores is important.
I'm not saying it isn't. I found it funny that there was a random child in his pajamas and striped pajamas in
like
the background.
The boy in striped pajamas.
Sadly, that parallel did come to me. But either way. Phil calls his sister to complain, and she's just like, well, there was going to be, like, a wedding with our cousin or something like that in London, and I don't really want to go fly out there, because first of all, she hates flying, second of all, she doesn't really want to go, but if Philip goes back to Germany for the holiday, she can just stay in Germany and won't have to fly and won't have to deal with all that. So, and she's also pregnant.
Right. By the way, I'm pregnant. So then we have
back to
Dickie.
Charles.
Yeah, so Dickie goes to visit Charles in his giant Rolls Royce.
Yeah, with, cookies.
They have, a picnic in his Rolls Royce.
It's so cute.
And that is kind of sweet. There's a big picnic basket, and Dickie wants to be Charles's confidant, and you hear the boys outside calling Charles
Dumbo. That's so sad.
This was completely normal when I was coming up through school. That was a completely normal.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's sad.
Whatever.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying bullying is not good.
It's like having friends.
You mean like having friends?
Having
but he doesn't have friends. That's the problem. He met one guy, and apparently he can't even understand him because of his accent,
his Scottish accent.
Yeah.
But Dickie's like, look, you tell me if you're having a problem, and I'll take care of it. Because that's what Dickie does.
And
he's the guy who takes care of
it. It's clear that he knows that Charles is not going to bring this up to his dad because he's ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scared that his father is going to be disappointed in him, and he really wants to prove himself, but it's also very hard to do so. And so, yeah, that's not great.
No.
And then we go over to Elizabeth, who wants to take Charles out of Gordonston because she heard from Dickie about how unhappy he is.
And Charles is calling it hell on earth.
And Philip stands by his decision to keep him there.
Well, this is, and it's interesting the language that Elizabeth uses in this conversation. It is very modern terminology, which I would not expect actually occurred during this time frame. That Charles is in school, you know, bullied children build destroyed adults. It's like, that is such a 2000s trope. That is not something that would ever have been considered as a normal thing to discuss when parenting your child back then.
Well, she does.
She does. I mean, I recognize that you have grown up in a very, very different world.
Yeah.
but when I hear this, it's like, yeah, that sounds really good, but it also sounds like it's written by someone living in this time as opposed to someone
who knows anything
about then. But Elizabeth is trying to pull this crown thing. She's like, look, Charles is the heir, and I get to say, and the crown gets to say what's going to happen with him, and blah, blah, blah.
And Philip says, in order to honor their agreement that they made on the boat at the beginning of the season, he does not say that, but he says, in order to keep his agreement, and to keep their marriage intact, then Charles has to stay. And I'm like, bitch, really? Is it that important to you? Like, okay, I get that you want Charles to get a backbone. I get that. But is it worth risking your marriage and your happiness within that relationship to just have your kid go to a different school than your wife wants to? And you, even if you know that Charles is not happy there?
This is a conversation you've never had.
I haven't, but so, also I still think it's valid for, like, Elizabeth to be like, hey, let's take our child who's really...
He hasn't been there very long.
I don't know how long he's been there.
You get the sense that the challenge is...
At
the end of term, right? So he hasn't been there even a term yet. And so you don't get the sense that he's been there very long. I really am kind of on Philip's side with this.
To, like risk breaking their marriage?
That's not... That wasn't really on the table. And he knows it, and she knows it. And she knows it. But, he's like, I have very, very little that is mine in this marriage. At least let me try to do something to help raise our children. And, Charles has got to be a tougher person. He's also got to be more in touch with real people than he is right now if the monarchy's going to last. That's his opinion.
But
he's not going to learn any of that at Eton, and I agree with that too.
Well, we don't know. I don't know anything about Eton other than it's like a pompous kind of like, oh, everybody who's upper class goes to Eton.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, yeah, it's got a lot of pretension.
I still think he's being rather severe with the way he's bringing this up. Like,
it's something thing he about, feels like, strongly about. I mean,
clearly,
again,
but it's still yeah, kind
but
of...
If, would it be different if they were talking about something else, like religion? I want to make sure that the child is raised with whatever my values are. And then she's like, well, he doesn't like it. And that seems very similar to me. There's an indoctrination element involved in education.
I just think bringing up the whole, like, agreement thing. Like, I understand bringing up the agreement, but also being like, if you want me in this marriage, then we need to make sure that this kid goes to my alma mater. It just seems a little bit too much to me. That's it. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Let's see. Charles looks at a picture of Philip. It's a lot like that Harry Potter scene.
Medals, yes.
Yeah, and the prize that Philip won or whatever, and prepares for the annual challenge. Han tells Charles about how much Philip struggled at Gordonston, and he can back out of the challenge if he wants to, but Charles is like, no, I'm going to do it.
Well, I like the language Han uses here. He's like, look, physical endurance is only one path to self-determination. And, he says that Phillips has had a lot of struggles, too. But I think that Han sees that Philip is a different person.
Hope he does. I hope someone's smart enough to see it.
Right, and that, he might be able to make something of himself, not necessarily through physical labor, but through some sort of academic discipline or some sort of discipline of some kind. But I think one of the things that we never see in any of these episodes is that Charles has any kind of self-discipline at all.
Well, we don't really see Charles at all until this episode. But also, I'd like to point out...
talking about future episodes.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But I think that it's interesting that, and I just thought of it, but it's interesting we don't see anything about Anne and her tutoring or anything like that, because you'd think that with the whole Elizabeth feeling dumb and not feeling like she got a full education, she would be like, well, obviously Charles is going to do the boy thing and going to, like, upper schools and, like, stuff like that and actually go and get schooling. I'm going to make sure Anne gets better tutors and so that she can feel prepared just in general for life. Because she sees how it is, has affected Margaret, she's seen how it affects the Queen Mother, and she knows that it affected her as well, and she felt inadequate. But no, Anne doesn't get a storyline because it's Anne.
Yeah, you know why? Because this is called The Crown, and it's only one crown, and everybody
Anne
else
shows
is a
up
spare.
Later.
Everybody else is a spare.
Well, in that case, Philip's a spare, so I don't see why Anne doesn't get anything.
Well, but he's the spouse of the
but
crown.
But did we need two Margaret episodes?
Could no.
we have, like, a small subplot? Or, like, even in this episode, you could have a small thing with, because Anne does show up at the end of the episode very, very briefly, and she barely gets a line, but I think that it's interesting that they bring
there's
up
not enough Anne in any of this series at all.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what the hell? And also I'll bring that up next episode because it's a different thing.
Anyway, so we've got
another flashback,
and it's Philip, and he's punching this guy who's bullying him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets in trouble again. And Han says, look, the two of you are going to work together. I'm sending you out and you're building the gate.
But you're going to also do it over the holiday, so he can't go back to Germany.
Right.
So his favorite sister, I'm just going to call her the favorite sister because I really just, that's it.
Right.
But
he calls the sister.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, I agreed to let him. Dr. Han said you needed to stay there, so I said that was okay. And now I've got to go to this stupid wedding.
And you have to get on the plane.
Right.
And basically what happens, Han gets a call giving him the news, and Han does impart it to Philip. His sister and I think her husband as well, and basically like 12 people on...
Yeah, her other kids.
Yeah.
So his cousins, or I guess his nieces and nephews.
They were all on the plane.
Yeah.
She gave birth on the plane.
Out of stress, I guess.
Out of stress. And there was a lot of turbulence. And they were going to be landing somewhere, I think Brussels?
Ostend. Which is in Belgium.
Yeah.
Ostend.
I think they were going to be going to...
They were supposed to land in Brussels, and they couldn't.
That's what I was
going
to say. They were supposed to land in Brussels, but they couldn't for whatever reason, I think weather. And they were going to land in Ostend, but there was an issue, and the plane crashed, and everyone died.
Yeah. And so the child actor who's playing Philip when he gets this news is, I think...
He's incredible. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean...
They have some really good child acting in
right,
this show.
Right.
It's
very
impressive.
He has to, like, walk out of the office. He goes up on a landing and basically stands alone with his head against the wall. Like, you know, it's just...
Well, that, and then he has to go back, and it's, like, almost like a vision kind of thing where he has this... it's not even a memory, it's a vision.
Right.
But he kind of... imagines what the wreck looks like.
It's
and
very
he walks
graphic,
yeah
too.
Very graphic. And you see he kind of worms his way through the wreckage, and then he finally and he has like memories of his sister and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks and he sees his sister, her dead body, or imagines her dead body and stuff like that, and he's heartbroken. And
he's
Han,
missing because
yeah.
he does this, he wanders out of the dorm, you know, while he's having these thoughts and these visions, and
Han finds his bed empty, and he's like, all right, kids, let's go out in the middle of the
search
night.
Search party in the middle of the night. Well, I mean, you know, you can't just leave.
Well, no, obviously that was the right thing to do, but
right.
It's just like,
and they end up
it's like,
all right, him.
Children, let's go and get this guy.
He's out there, and he's rowing, which again, he's still rowing, kind
he's
of like
rowing
Gendry.
Away.
Kind of like Gendry.
Just keep rowing.
Just keep rowing. And again, we're making Game of Thrones references.
You'll
sorry,
really
guys.
Bulk up. It's going to be okay. But, yeah, he's in a boat on the pond or whatever, trying to sail away, and Han tells him that he will go back to Germany to attend the funeral, and it will be very hard, but when you come back, we will be your family.
Right.
We will be there for you.
Yeah, basically.
If you need us, we will be there.
Right.
And
it's interesting because, again, it's a little, I'll get to that in a minute. And so he does go
to the
funeral, and there's this big
procession.
Cortege of all of these coffins, but it's a lot of Nazis.
So much Nazi stuff.
So much Nazi
and,
stuff.
Oh my God!
And
like
poor
at the...
Philip's like not he's, but there's all these Nazi things and salutes
and
all
Dickie's
that.
There. He's
and
in
Dickie's
the, he's
there.
Like farther along in the procession than Philip is, but Philip stops for a second, and everyone mm-hmm. like walks past him, but Dickie like stays behind and like tries to get him to move. But also
yeah.
you see everybody's doing the Heil thing and
yeah.
stuff like that. But then I also noticed on like the bleachers or something that Philip stops at, you see these small children in uniforms doing the exact same, like, everyone's doing the Heil Hitler
stuff. The Hitler
stuff.
Youth,
and
yeah.
It's, yeah, the Hitler youth. But they're, the kids are, like, squirming. It was kind of funny. I was just like, wow, random child. It's
yeah.
just, they were very cute, but obviously we don't like that they're being raised like this. But,
right, so, you know, during this long walk,
I just found it
Philip's
funny.
Father, and Philip's father looks like the monocled evil villain.
Oh my god,
mean,
he looks like Mr. Monopoly, Monopoly Man guy, Mr. Moneybags
yeah,
or something.
He's really just like, he looks very judgmental.
No, he looks like the villain from, the father from Umbrella Academy.
Yes!
That's what he looks
yeah,
like.
He does.
That's exactly
he
what
does.
He looks like.
We should look up the actor, anyway.
I don't know.
So, and, but Dickie really, you know, he's kind of in the background. You don't see much of his role in this, but he's there for Philip. And but they go to a reception afterwards, and Philip's being presented to his mother and father. And his mother is clearly not even sure who he is and has to be told.
Yeah, no, yeah, she has to be told. And then his father basically blames him for the death of his favorite child because of his indiscipline. Because if he hadn't acted out, he would have gone back to Germany and his sister would not have left for the wedding.
It's like the wedding, you know, that
maybe you should blame the people having a wedding.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go. She wouldn't have had to get on the fucking plane.
Yeah, or her husband, who's or whoever's cousin it was. I mean, that's just, it's crazy.
And then Philip goes back
to irrational.
School.
And so he goes back to school, and in the middle of the night, he goes out
in the rain
and starts building this masonry gate by himself.
Yeah, he builds the wall by himself.
But I think that there's a lot of symbolism here, obviously.
Well,
but
obviously.
I think
he's building himself back up.
Right.
But
it's also like erasing all of his pretentious background.
He's doing this manual labor himself.
But he also doesn't ask for help. And this is Dr. Hahn tells, because the other boys see him, they're like, he looks like he needs help.
No, yeah, they ask. And it's
and
like, hey, he looks like he needs
ask.
Some help. And he's just like, nope, not until he asks. And he's just like, ignore him, children. Keep riding your bikes. Let's do the whole Sound of Music thing. Let's go. It really did remind me of that. It was really funny.
Was
they're just going to start singing Do Re Mi. And so
I think that, okay.
I didn't think of it until just now.
I guess it was the same period type bikes, so that might have something to do with it.
I don't know. But,
when he's
putting up when he gets to the actual gate, like he finishes the walls and he has to be putting
exhausted,
up this iron wrought gate.
Tell. Yeah.
And he can't lift it himself. And also, it's clear he has not slept in a while.
Yeah,
it's been at least like 3 days.
Yeah.
At least. And
he comes into the dining hall and he is weak and exhausted and he asks for help.
It's such a good performance.
And he has tears in his eyes. It's an incredible
performance. I think this is my favorite moment in the entire episode.
It's really so good.
And he's like, help. And then Dr. Hahn's just like, sorry, could you say that one more time? He's like, I need help. And he's like, all right, now you guys can help him. Go, kids,
right,
go.
Right. And they all go. And he tells Philip, well done.
Well, Philip watches as the kids work together to put up the gates, and he ends it by locking it.
Yeah.
And well done. And also, I noticed when all the kids stand up, the bully's the first one to stand up.
Yeah.
Because I think he understands now, he also made fun of the Nazi sister and all that stuff before.
He understands that it's a family, it's not just some object.
Yes. And he notices how much he's suffering, and he wants to be like, okay, I was hard on you. And I want to help you, and I feel bad. And I think that was a good choice to have him be the first to stand up.
Yeah.
Then
Dr. Hahn, as Philip back in.
But also, I would like to point out, Philip was not at any of the lessons in the day. He was only building this, gate. And I wrote down, the gate is finished, and then the next note I have is, do they learn anything here?
I know you're kind of, focusing on that, but
I just find it funny. Yeah. It's like Hogwarts. It's like you barely see any classes. You're just kind of there for the fun.
True. It's like, eh, whatever.
I understand that they do learn there. It's just, it's funny because you only see the physical stuff.
Right, but adult Philip then is going back because he's supposed to give out the awards for the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And he I guess had stopped on the road to have this reminiscence about, you know, his time.
Dramatically look into the Scottish.
But he's on the road to Skyfall. So it's kind of fascinating. But Charles
The detective is helping him, like, put stuff in the backpack while you see the other kids in the background doing it themselves.
And yeah, for the challenge. And Charles has to be told to, you know, like, start running.
Go ahead, go. It's like a kid on the first day of school. Just go ahead, go.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, if you've been practicing for this challenge, like, you
think you'd
been.
Be able to know. Like, you wouldn't be this you wouldn't hesitate this much.
Yeah.
It's one thing when later on if he, like, gives up.
Right.
Immediately right off the bat hesitating like that, I'm like, dude, if you don't want to do it, just don't.
Yeah.
Like, yes, your father signed you up for it, but if you really, really genuinely don't want to do it, you can just back out.
Right, and Dr. Han has told you over
and over. He literally told you can back out.
Yeah, it's no big deal. But, you know, what he does, I think, is worse.
Oh, it's
the choices he makes with this challenge business are worse.
It's also heartbreaking to me. Really is sad.
Because
also the kid...
I feel sorry for him. I feel like he's doing it deliberately.
I'm just saying, the kid playing Charles is, first of all, very cute. Second of all, he breaks my heart sometimes. He's a really good actor, too.
He's a good actor. Again,
he's not as good as the Philip actor, but we get to see more of the Philip actor, so it doesn't matter.
Well, okay.
Anyway.
So the challenge is going on. Philip gets there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to be giving out awards, you know, that kind of thing.
And he, like, watches people pass by, and he's just like, okay, so how is he doing? He asks Dr. Han, and he's just like, they should be here by 2. And then he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because you can tell.
That well.
Yeah, because Philip's kind of thinking, oh, it should be done by lunchtime or whatever. And so...
Well, I don't think that's it. I think he's just like, well, you didn't give me a direct answer, so obviously he's not doing that well.
Yeah, exactly. So the
detective
realizes that Charles is not part of the group.
I'm just going to try to outline what I think this challenge is. Mm-hmm. So they start in the middle of the woods, and they have, it's almost like a Boy Scout kind of thing. Like, they have the backpacks with supplies and
then... army kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a rucksack kind of thing, where it's just like you have weight on you.
Right.
And so they run through the forest, and then they do some hurdles, like they, not hurdles, but like they climb up walls and go down. It's like gates.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. It's a very army kind of thing. And they just keep running, and then they go into those showers. They have to change really quickly into different clothes, and then they win.
We don't see the whole thing. They say it's 18 miles. And so there's running, there are obstacles definitely involved, because there's a section where there's a boat and they have to climb over a fence back into the boat and whatever, and Charles, like, drops his rucksack or whatever. It's very,
Stripes.
Right, but can you get the sense, like, if you had practiced at all over the course of the term?
Like,
did you even...
I think you naturally are practicing every time you have the morning run and all that stuff. You see, and also in, like, the flashbacks with Philip, you see people, like, scaling walls and such with the ropes and doing teamwork. I mean,
right.
You definitely were being prepared for this.
Right, and they are running in teams, so he should have been part of a team, I guess, Team A or whatever.
Oh, it's definitely not Team C. Team C wins.
Yeah.
But
he's part of a team. The team should know that he's fallen behind and they're supposed to be helping him, I would think.
Well, I think that Team B just, or whatever team he's a part of, just gives up at some point because he gives up.
Yeah.
And we'll
like,
get
we
to,
lost
we're
it.
Getting to that now, because Phil notices, like, all the kids
Where
are coming
he?
In.
And he's like, let's wait 10 more minutes. And
yeah,
like,
he knows Charles isn't back yet. Let's wait 10 more minutes. Honestly, that makes things worse.
Yeah,
because it makes everyone realize his absence, even though all the kids know. It's kind of like, Philip, you're really making a spectacle of the fact that he's not here yet. And I understand the sentiment of, like, okay, I want to make him feel like, oh, he's accomplished something by, like, getting back and finishing the challenge and giving him the time to
Meanwhile,
do so.
Meanwhile, he's in the woods without a vest.
At least he's not shot. But the detective finds him in the woods, embarrassed and alone, crying against one of the pillars, just, like, upset. I'm like, you really didn't try, did you, kid?
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
I understand... The thing is, you don't see much of it. You don't see... The only time you really see him struggle all that much is because he, like, drops his rucksack at one point, and then he has to go back over the hurdle and, like, get it and all that stuff. But you don't really see the rest of it. You just... In the end, you just see Charles still in the woods, not even close to the... Like, the guy had to drive to find him.
Right.
So he's not even close
to
the
end.
Yeah,
he gave up.
Very early. And he's, like, against a tree crying, and I'm like, dude, you didn't even try.
Right. And that's kind of my point, but I almost get the
sense... If
he
was, like, hurt or something, I mean, that's one
thing.
Like, if he twisted his ankle and was, like, being a little bit of a pansy about it, but still, like, there was a reason why he stopped, I think that I would be a little bit more forgiving, but what is this?
Right. So you get the sense, like, he deliberately didn't try so that he could go home, is the sense that I got.
Well, yeah.
Is that, you know, he's doing this almost on purpose to defend his innocence.
But I also think that, like, he, given the fact that he's had all this, like, pressure on him, puts all this pressure on himself, well, not only from himself, but, like, from Philip to be what Philip was and still kind of is like, oh, I'm so accomplished. I'm such a sports guy. I'm the man.
I made myself.
I'm the tough guy and you aren't. And you're such a girl and all that stuff. That whole toxic masculinity thing or just masculine ideals in general is kind of, it's interesting because he does, like, Han gives him an out. I don't know why he didn't take, like, I get why he didn't take it. He was nervous that he was going to disappoint his dad, but you're disappointing him even more
But again, now you're making a spectacle out of it.
You didn't try.
Right, like, and that's the thing that I don't respect about these decisions. I understand he's a child. I mean, he's a child.
I mean, yeah.
And I do think that how it is handled isn't particularly good. And it's really kind of unclear what his age is, too.
I think he's like maybe
10?
10, 11.
Yeah, I mean,
Harry Potter age.
Yeah. And, you know, again, there is,
at least young Daniel Radcliffe is running around.
Right, and one of the themes of this school is that there is more to you. They say it in French, but it's like, there's more to you than it seems. You'll find yourself, you know, in the challenge, in the struggle, right, is mm-hmm. where you find yourself. It's like the speech that Philip gave about marriage. It's like,
yeah.
It's in the rough that you find the treasure. And I think he really believes that, and it's something that I believe, too. And so that's why I'm really, like, Charles doesn't want to have anything that he has to fight for.
Yeah, but I think that Philip needs to acknowledge that they're very different people.
Right. His struggle may be different, but he still has to struggle.
It might take him more time to do so, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think
signing him up for the challenge in the first place was probably very ill-advised.
That was probably a mistake.
Because I think working your way up to the challenge is a good idea, but immediately being like, all right, kid, you just got here, but also you're going to do this really hard challenge.
Yeah, no, I agree that signing him up for the challenge was probably a bad idea.
Phil definitely won because it's literally the Duke of Edinburgh Cup.
Right, so it's not just that. I think that was a poor decision, but I don't think it is a crazy idea to kind of push your child to try something, because I did that with you.
Well, yeah, I did, but I mean,
I did that with your brother, so it's kind of like,
I think it's a little bit different, because I mean, at least you didn't, like, sign us up for a crazy 18-mile challenge just because
like, the first, I don't know, 5-6 years of going to dance, at the beginning of every semester, you fought me, literally. So,
and then I turned out to be a theater kid, so, I mean.
But you also turned out to, you know, by the end of the year, like, oh, I love this, and I'm enjoying it.
I made friends. Charles clearly isn't. So.
Charles isn't trying either.
I understand the shyness aspect. I am a shy person.
Me too.
You're a little less shy than I am.
I'm way more shy. At that age, I was way more shy than either.
Okay,
age.
I didn't know you at 10.
You did not.
But I can empathize with the shyness and the sensitive. Well, okay, I'm not that sensitive. But also, I think that, I don't know, it's just different. I was going to say different strokes for different folks, but I think that's a really poor way of saying it. But
yeah.
Everyone's different, and I think that signing him up for the challenge was ill-advised because he at least should have let him work up to that. And if he seemed to be up for it maybe next term,
he can do it then. Right, the first term I would talk to
Dr. Han
and see how he's doing.
Ask him.
Semester. Yeah.
Like, he's just you don't see him asking anything other than how is he doing in the race. You only hear from Dickie about how Charles is feeling.
Right, and Dickie is cuddling him, though, on some level.
Well, yeah, that's what Dickie does.
So,
and I think that initially, at the very beginning of the episode, when I think Elizabeth talks to Philip about him going to eat, and he is just like, well, Dickie seems to like the idea for Charles, and he's like, Dickie needs to stay out of it. And I think that's fair. He's not his father.
Right.
But also, I think that it's interesting because Dickie does bring up to Charles, oh yeah, well, I know that you feel like you can't, I'm not your father, and I know you feel like you can't say certain things to your father that you can to me, so if you want to tell me anything, you can do so. It's safe here. And I think Charles just needs that. I think that Philip needs to
Oh, Charles needs an advocate for sure, because Charles doesn't...
He doesn't speak up for himself.
Well, not... he does, but he doesn't.
Well, not directly, anyway.
Right.
Anyway, all right. So Philip starts the ceremony without Charles, but Charles comes in and then sits in the back. He has a towel around him like he just saw something horrible in the woods. And the detective... it's really sad because while Philip is doing this whole speech about, like, building character and stuff, you see Charles in the back corner, like, in the very, very back corner, and the detective puts his arm around him and he just kind of, like, cuddles into the detective because he's the only one giving him any comfort right now.
Right. But again, you know, it's interesting. So they get on the plane and Philip's flying and Charles is up in the front seat with him and he's terrified.
Terrified. Well, it's also turbulent, so I mean, I get nervous with turbulence.
Well, and Charles is like, look, it's just air. The struggle, in the struggle lies the gift. And he's trying to get him to understand it, but Charles is super scared and it infuriates Philip.
Philip yells in his face to stop being so bloody weak. And I'm just like, wow, that's a great way to make your child feel better.
But then, you know, when they get back
to
Windsor, and I know this really bothers you, like, you know,
Well, first of all, he kicks him out of the cockpit because, it's probably a good idea because Charles probably should be in the back anyway, but...
Right.
Yeah, he gets back to Windsor.
He gets back to Windsor, and Anne's like, Daddy! And Philip's like, my favorite girl!
No, he says, darling Anne, how's my favorite girl? And they, like, run around and play tag, and then you see Charles.
Charles goes to the nanny.
He's
too old for a fucking nanny.
Well, yeah, I think that's stupid. Well, he goes to the nanny, and Elizabeth watches him come up the stairs in Windsor, and he greets all of the servants by name, and he gives them hugs, and it's clear that these are the closest people he has in his life, which is very sad to think about.
It is sad.
I'm kind of surprised that Elizabeth doesn't, like, greet them at the door.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
I think if it wasn't the nanny, it would be Elizabeth. But I really
would hope. But anyway,
I would hope so. Anyway, but then we get like to see this little like text or whatever that says he was there. He was at
Gordonston
for 5 more years, and he hated it. Called it hell on earth, all that stuff, which is a little bit dramatic. But
and he sent his own kids to Eton.
Yeah.
So
okay, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. What was your best part?
I think just in general, the best part of this episode is just Philip's that flashbacks. Like, that story is fantastic.
Yeah.
I really love it. And the acting is great. I think that it gets across the message that it wants to, but I also think that, and I'll get to this in my worst parts, that Charles's thing really does conflict with it a lot in a way that I understand why they did it like that, but with such a good story in the flashbacks, when it gets back to Charles, I'm like, oh, now I'm just gonna feel bad for this kid, but I really don't want to feel bad for this kid, but and all that stuff. But Philip's flashbacks with him going to Gordonston, being a pretentious little asshole, like, being like, I'm a prince, I don't have to do manual labor, and then, but even, like, before he went to Gordonston, it was clear that he at least had more of a backbone than Charles does.
Yeah.
And I think that should have immediately tipped somebody off about, like, hey, maybe you're not the same kid, and maybe building you up and it is different than the way you should build Charles up. But I do, okay. And I appreciate Philip's intentions as far as building Charles a backbone and to, like, toughen him up a little bit and have him be aware of the real world so that when he does become the monarch, he's prepared in more ways than Elizabeth was. Because Elizabeth, regardless, she wasn't going to go to Eton. She wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Elizabeth was a mechanic.
Well, no,
Elizabeth
she
had, like, real-world skills.
That's later, but yeah.
But, I mean...
Starting younger, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah.
And so, I think that... Yeah, I think the flashbacks are the best part, because especially once you see the really sad, like... I kind of wish that we didn't know about the favorite sister dying in the plane crash, because we are told that
so early on
in that interview from before, and I really wish they kept that under wraps, like, oh, Nazi sister, you can say that, but maybe don't bring up the plane crash and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, maybe you just say you lost your sister.
Yeah, and then you see how dramatic it actually was and traumatic, and then seeing, I really just love the sequence where he's building the gate by himself and then finally goes to the dining hall and is like, I need help. I really, really love that sequence. It's so good. And then you go back to Charles and it's just like, okay, yeah, no, completely different kid. Also, you're not even trying. But
it's an interesting thing that, and again, my best part with this was also Philip.
Well, I also want to say, I also like Dickie and Charles together. I think that's a funny little cute little duo, especially at the beginning, but then seeing Dickie coddle him a little bit in the car, but at least Charles opens up to him. I kind of like that at least Charles has a confidant.
Right. And
that's not a detective.
It's an interesting thing because you do have very different people involved here, and it's that. And maybe we should talk about worst parts too.
Also, Elizabeth standing up for Charles. I do like that. I like Elizabeth feeling, because again, at the beginning of the season, you have that conversation with Mike where Mike's just like, he's a constant reminder of her mortality, and no wonder why she's so cold with him.
Right.
But then you finally get to see a little bit of her actually being a mother and being like, oh no, you're right over there, and you can sleep in your own bed, you get to do all of this. And
we've actually seen her interact with Charles in this season. It hasn't been awful. I mean, it's been like, where are their penguins? You know, those kinds of things. She's not been this really.
Well, I also think that her being a mother again, obviously she's always been a mother.
Having additional
but
children.
Like, yeah, having an additional smaller child in Andrew is kind of like kicking her into high gear of like, okay, I also need to pay attention to my older kids.
Yeah, but we never see any of that.
Sadly.
So, I think there's a lot.
This could have been a great opportunity to do a lot more with not just Charles, but also Anne and her relationship with her mother as well. You only get to see her relationship with Philip.
Yeah.
And you barely get to see that. You see, like, in the background him playing tag with her, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's Anne. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean,
which is sad.
It is sad.
So,
how
what are you,
underused Anne is.
So, what are your best parts?
It was Philip, and it's Philip overcoming all the bad stuff that he did. But again, I feel like I respect his approach to being the new kid and being bullied, because I was the new kid a lot.
Well,
that was pretty
were.
Much how I handled it.
Mm.
It was like, fine.
You built a gate?
I did not build a gate, but I wasn't...
In your head, you did.
Right, exactly. I mean, there is a lot of just making yourself tough. And obviously Charles did that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, Charles didn't do that. Philip did. Charles does not. And that's part of my issue with him. But we can talk about that in a second.
Well, I also want to say, I think that it's very valid that Philip wants Charles to do something for himself. And so it's not just, like, when he introduced the idea of Gordonston to Charles at the breakfast table, he's just like, yeah, these servants, all this... not the real world. You need to actually do stuff for yourself. And seeing, I kind of wish that, and we're getting into worst parts now.
Yeah. What is your worst part, technically?
Okay, I have a couple. Philip being a bit of a dick to Elizabeth about the whole thing, I think he went a little bit too far in that argument, but, I mean, what you say in an argument, and that's the whole thing, and he really does want Charles to do something for himself, which I think is also important, but, again, bringing the whole thing about the marriage back into it is just kind of like, ugh. And him pressuring Charles in the plane, it's kind of hard to watch for me. It's because I understand his sentiment, I understand the idea, and he does say, like, you know, you don't need to feel bad about the challenge thing, it's fine, but you also need to understand that you need to build up your character a little bit more and all that stuff. But then him yelling at him about being weak in that moment in the turbulence was not the best idea. But, and also...
He's impatient.
Yes, he is very impatient, and he has a bit of a temper. But also, Charles giving up in the challenge, I think that they could have played it differently, and I think it would have made things better, because once you see Charles... You don't get to see a lot of Charles. Honestly, you don't get to see too much of Charles, because it's mostly the Philip show, which, honestly, good thing, because that's the best part. But... seeing Charles do the whole thing with Dr. Han of like, oh, I'm going to do the challenge either way. I'm going to make sure I'm prepared. I'm going to actually try. I'm not going to back out. I want to make my dad proud. And then the very next time you see Charles is the detective helping him with his backpack. I'm just like, really? You didn't even try there.
Right.
If Charles was doing this himself, he was struggling, but he was trying himself. And he tried to go through it. It's okay that It's fine if he didn't finish and he whatever, that can stay. But I think at least seeing him try a little bit more. And yes, the detective can go and find him in the woods and he gave up at some point is kind of pathetic, but he's a child and he is scared and whatever. I just think that if you saw at least a little bit more effort on Charles's part to do something himself, I think that would work better in the context of everything. Because at least he tried. And then you'd feel worse for him because you see he tried, but he didn't.
Right. I think I would have a lot more empathy for him as a character if I saw him try.
And they could have played it like that, but they didn't. So
because maybe it didn't happen.
Well, obviously, all of this is just
fictional. But yeah, we don't know. So, yeah, my worst part... Do you have other worst parts?
Well, I kind of wish that I felt worse for Charles at this point because right, I definitely don't like him later on. So if you made him a little bit more sympathetic now, I think that would have helped you in the long run as far as, like, if you wanted him to be likable later, which he's not.
He's not.
So,
my worst parts, and I'm going to do this kind of in reverse... Philip is not able to communicate with Charles, and I think that some of that is Philip's impatience, and you talk about it as toxic masculinity, his impatience and his anger.
No, I'm talking about like the idea that every guy needs to be this tough.
But again, I think that there are cultural things about the time period and the upbringing that these guys were in that you cannot understand coming from this perspective. And you get a little hint of it with Jared Harris and his impatience when he can't get his tie tied and things aren't going perfectly. There was a tolerance for being angry at imperfection and angry at weakness that was commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so saying you're weak was not like the incredible, horrible insult. Oh my God, I need to go in a safe room.
Saying don't scream in his face in the middle of turbulence.
Right, but here's what I think is happening in that interchange in the plane. Because you see, obviously, Charles is very, very upset. And Philip is trying.
Oh, yeah, he does try initially.
He tries to say it in a more patient way. Like, look, here's what I'm trying to tell you is, like, the struggle. It doesn't matter whether you finish the challenge or
you
or
tried.
You tried. But the struggle is what's going to make you. Because he understands. He does understand what Han had been saying, which is, you don't have to do this in a physical thing. You just have to find yourself somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And
I think physical for Charles is just not the way to go.
Right, but physical and Philip felt... I would expect that Philip was thinking, well, maybe we try this because he's never been made to do any of this stuff.
No, yeah.
So maybe we make him.
But again, the physical challenge thing is just like...
Right, but maybe we make him and he finds himself there. But if he doesn't, then we try something else. Now, I would have, like...
Gradually.
I would have, like, asked Han, because Han's an expert, like, after some period of time. After some period of time, it's like, okay, which of these things do you think he could work at? But... Here's my real worst part, and I do agree with you that he switches to, oh, you're just weak, very quickly because he's impatient.
I hate that he's made out to be, like, the bad guy in those situations, because I do agree with his philosophy about, like, okay, you need to actually do some of this stuff yourself. I agree with that, but then him yelling at both him, Elizabeth, and Charles about it, I'm just kind of like, you could have done this better.
I can see, yeah, he could have done it better, but I can also see, you're flying a plane in turbulence. Your kid is crying. You're trying to be a patient parent. And your kid is crying and making it out like you're some sort of bad guy for trying to be a patient parent with him. And you're still trying to manage the plane and everything. It's like, fine, just go. And I can see the impatience.
I can see that, but yelling, stop being so weak, like in his face, like yanking off like the headset. It's like, again, I hate the way they like portrayed that. And I also kind of wish you saw... Obviously, I love the flashbacks, but I also wish you saw a little bit more of the contemplative older Philip about looking at like his old accomplishments.
Right, but whoever showed him how to be a dad?
Literally no one. His
dad
sucks.
Exactly. So he thinks he's doing a better job. He really believes that, I think. That he's, I'm actually talking to you.
He's doing something similar to what his dad did in like sending him to Gordonston to just... But at least he's not, like, trying to send him away. He's more just trying to get him to Yes. He's trying to do a kick in the pants, but it's
he thinks he's doing a better job. Yeah, right. I agree.
I'm glad, and I was glad when like the text came up that he stayed at Gordonston and they didn't just be like, okay, no, you're going to Eton. I'm glad they stuck with it, but I think that packing all this into the first year is a little bit much for.
Well, right, but here's where I really am unhappy with Charles being such a baby. So I agree with the sentiment from Philip that you're being weak. I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. You don't say that to a child.
No, you don't.
But you can think it.
Yeah, you can absolutely think it. We're all thinking it.
Yeah, we're all thinking it. But I think the biggest difference that you see is that Philip had to be, you had to wait for him to ask for help. Charles needs help with like the most basic fucking shit. He cannot even pack a knapsack himself. Somebody does these things for him. And at no point in time has he ever just had to, like, dig deep and find anything.
And again, if they played it differently, where at least he was putting his own knapsack together and he didn't ask for help from the detective.
For everything. I mean, and again, you know, you can ask for help from your peers, mm-hmm. and I would respect that more.
Yeah.
Or
at least tried.
Or Han. Or somebody who's part of the school. But he wants to be coddled by the servants. And I think that that's even specifically what Philip's talking about. This, like with the footmen and whatever, is not the real world. I think that's part of what he's getting at.
Well, yeah,
you don't have servants. You don't have people who are going to, you know, just be able to help you with these things.
I think he also just wants him to be aware of, like, the real world in that, like, what other people face day to day is very different from what he faces. And you, just because you're not going to face the same problems as a normal person doesn't mean you shouldn't try to understand them.
Right. And I think that we don't ever see in this series whether Charles found himself or found some way to, like,
I think that's in the third season when he goes into theater, but
I don't think that's,
oh no, he never found his way, really.
No, I don't think he ever found his way, and I
at least to the character that we are seeing,
right? Correct. And it's really rather disappointing. So again, like, Charles being a baby was my worst part. Mm-hmm. How'd you grade this episode?
I gave it an A-. I think that I really, really love the young Philip stuff. I think that works very well. It's something that needed to be seen and needed to be understood for you to understand the character that they've developed. And the acting's great, all that stuff. But the Charles stuff really does drag it down because, again, the way they're characterizing Philip, yeah, older Philip in this episode is very different from what I was expecting them to. I thought they were going to go more the route, like, I can understand their route of, like, okay, well, I'm going to try to force this idea on you and see if it works. Like, just throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. I understand that idea, but them kind of characterizing him more as, like, the villain of trying to, like, push Charles to do stuff he doesn't want to do. Like, yeah, you shouldn't do that, but at the same time, he's just trying. And so the way they're characterizing him as, like, the villain with when Elizabeth's like, let's send him to Eton instead, and him being like, no, I'm going to break our marriage if you try to do that, but not really, like, explaining why at the time or giving any kind of forethought. Or at least, well, we are obviously seeing the subtext of everything.
Right.
But him not explaining any of that to anybody, especially Elizabeth, just makes him out to be the bad guy in that situation and makes it seems like, oh, we have an agreement, this is my decision, all that stuff, that's fine. But then he's just like, I'll break our marriage, that kind of thing. I don't like that.
I didn't read it that way. I think that that was just an argument tactic.
It definitely was, but I think that, again, villainizing him for doing it.
I have seen adults argue with each other a lot more than you have to.
True. But also, the whole Charles thing, again, if they showed him to have at least a little bit more initiative, because you get a glimpse of, like, oh yeah, I'm going to try to do this, I'm going to try to live up to my dad's expectations kind of thing, but then you just don't, and I'm just like, you just gave up again.
He didn't even start.
Exactly.
He didn't do any of it.
It's frustrating, because I kind of wish that at least they gave him a chance to try and then fail. It's one thing to try and fail, but to like hesitantly look at your bodyguard or whatever and be like, should I do it? And it's like, yes, you should. Just do it. It's just annoying.
You've already committed, dude.
Yeah. Well, day against your will, you committed. Yeah, well, but then you did it with your own consent.
You doubled down.
You consented.
Exactly. No,
so, I mean, I don't know why he's doing that. But
it's ridiculous. Yeah. So I gave this a B plus A minus, and the A minus, I feel like it was an A minus. The first time I saw it, I really liked this episode. It was one that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. It's one I remember.
Yeah, it's definitely one I remember. And so I feel like it's a really good episode. I put it more as a B plus this go around because I felt like the Charles stuff did kind of drag it down. I understand what you're talking about. They make Philip out to be the villain, but I think that the press has also done that.
Well, yeah, that's what they have to go on.
Right, and so Charles has gotten out there, oh, my father was evil and bad.
This was hell on earth for me.
It was hell on earth for me.
But I also feel like they're not even painting Charles in a positive light. They weren't choosing a side, which I'm kind of glad they kind of weren't, but at the same time, they're making them both look bad.
Yes.
Like, I don't love that in this situation, because at least the least you could do is like be like, all right, well, this child can be like weaker, but they're making him out to be such a baby.
Well, again, I think that that's one of the issues that, you know, as a person who is not male, and I'm not trying to get into like all the gender stuff necessarily, but there has been a lot of discussion about, you know, toxic masculinity, as you pointed out, and all of these masculine qualities are painted as being negative. But then what, they don't give a viable replacement.
Well, no, that's
an
issue.
And I think that's really what the biggest problem is you know, you're talking about, all right, all these manly man things are bad, but you don't have a good alternative.
No.
And I think that that's, you know, you can't hold up Charles as being a good alternative.
No.
And so what is it that, you know, it's toxic because there's anger involved?
No, it's just the whole, like, and I shouldn't have said toxic masculinity. I was just saying.
Yeah, but that's a cultural term. I mean, I'm not faulting you for using the term. I think the term is in itself a problem.
I'm not one of those people who's just like, oh, that's so toxic kind of thing. Like, I can recognize when things are taken out of context and seen in a negative light where they could have been like, well, you need the context for it. But I think especially historical context, but I think that, again, them villainizing Philip and making him like this angry old man trying to like get his child to toughen up, and them painting him in that light, but also showing these flashbacks of him actually being traumatized and like that's the reason why he is the way he is kind of thing. I think that's, it's just so, it's such a big juxtaposition that I'm just kind of like, well, what you're showing in the flashbacks is completely different from like what you're seeing in real life, where he doesn't like, I don't know. I just don't think about.
And maybe that is the point of this episode, is you need to think about what kind of criteria or what are the standards by which masculinity should be measured.
I don't know. But also, I think that one thing it does lack is a kind of a resolution.
Right. And you have a lot more empathy, I think, for Philip's character, his younger
self. Oh, absolutely, you do. But also, I'm trying to empathize with Charles, but he's being such a baby about it. But then you have Philip, in older Philip, and I'm just like, I know what you're trying to do, but you could just do it this way or anything else. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're drawing this out a lot, but.
Right. But I think there is a simplification that's going on because we're watching a TV show and it is a simplification. So.
And now we don't want complexity.
Yeah. We don't want complexity from these people.
Definitely not. It makes it too complicated.
Yes. Obviously. So we are going to move on to the next episode, which is the last episode of season 2.
Aw,
I know.
I'm going to miss this cast.
Yeah. No, I definitely am going to miss this cast. And so it will be very, very cool to do the next episode, which is called
Mystery Man.
And so we will be coming back very soon. We hope you join us. And
cheers.